In our bodies, the core is important. That's why it's a good thing to strengthen it. And what's true in the human body is also true in the church. Hi, it's Josh here, one of the pastors at West Valley Christian Church, and we are on a series called Core, where we are looking at the core values of our church: life change, team, generosity, fun, and excellence. Hope you enjoy the podcast. If you don't have a Bible, please raise your hand, and these fine gentlemen will give you a Bible so we can go to Scripture immediately. And as you're receiving your Bibles or opening up your Bible apps, we're going to go to the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17. And every time before preaching, there's a little bit of nervousness. I've been preaching for 6 years in Chile every Sunday, but there's always this thing inside of you where you so want to communicate the message that you have, but you're always concerned if you're going to do a good job or you're not going to do a good job. So as we start, and before I start giving this message to you today, I want to ask if your heart is open. Is your heart open? Because I know we've got so much stuff going on in the world. We have so much stuff going on in our personal lives. And I want to invite you this morning to just take a moment, and take this backpack off. Leave it to one side, and just these next 30 minutes that we can focus on God's word and what he has for us. Amen? All right, let's get started. So James chapter 1, verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." Amen? So what I want to start off by saying this morning is that everything that we have received by God. Everything we have is a gift from God. The air that we breathe, the clothes that we have on, the houses that we live in. Can anyone name some other things? Cars we drive, the children we have, husbands, wives, health, everything that we have comes from God. That is so important to start with that, that we understand that everything that we have, we've received by God, but we also need to understand that we have received these things from God, not to be owners of these things, but to be stewards. We've got Matthew 25, which talks about the parable of the talents or the parable of the bags of gold. And he talks about this whole idea of us being not owners of the things that we have, but stewards. Now, what's the difference between a steward and an owner? So the steward, he has to do what the owner of the thing that he has been entrusted with tells him to do, right? But the owner can do whatever he wants with the things that he has because they are his. It's very important for us to understand this because God, just like in the parable of the talents, he has entrusted us with the things that we have, but at the end of the day, we have to give an account for everything that he has given to us. So as I was saying earlier, I was a missionary in Chile for 6 years. My parents were missionaries first. That's actually where I grew up. But we started a church in Chile in 2010, and every year I would come to the United States to hang out with you guys and tell you how everything was going. And every time that I would travel to the U.S., there would be someone from Chile or a few people from Chile that would give me some money, and they would say, "Hey, can you buy this or that in the States? Because we can't buy this stuff here, and in the States it's a lot cheaper, or in the States there's things that we simply can't buy here." So I would do that every year. And one year, there was a guy who asked me to buy him a guitar. He gave me, I think it was like $1,500 to $2,000. He gave me that money, and I'm like, "Man, that's a lot of money." So I came to the United States, and he specified to me what type of guitar that he wanted. So I went to Guitar Center, or maybe it was Sam Ash, I can't remember right now. And I went, and I bought the guitar, and I brought it. And then I went back to Chile and gave him the guitar, and he said, "Thank you." Question: what would have happened if I would have grabbed those $2,000, and I would have said, "I'm going to take this to Las Vegas. I'm just going to have a good time with these $2,000, or I'm going to buy a bunch of clothes, or I'm going to buy myself a drum set." And then I would have come back to Chile, and he would have said, "Hey, so where's my guitar?" And I would have said, but dude, you gave me that money. Like, I could do whatever I want with that money, so I did whatever I wanted with my money. What would his reaction be? He'd be like, no, I gave you that money with a specific purpose, and I trusted you with it, and now there's nothing. So what I want to talk about this morning is this whole idea of the fact that everything that we have, we've received by God. He has entrusted it to us, and at the end of the day, we will have to give an account. Aren't you happy you came this morning? Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you this morning for this awesome church, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because I can just sense right now that hearts are open, and I thank you for that, Lord. I pray that you will use me this morning, that that you will speak freely through me, Lord, and that this message will be helpful for this church. Thank you, Lord, so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are continuing a series called Core, where we are looking at the core values of our church, which are team, generosity, life change, fun, and excellence. And we started off last week with the first core value, which is team. And the whole idea is we're in this together. And today we're going to talk about generosity. Generosity. Now, first of all, I want to get something out of the way. When I heard that I was speaking on the topic of generosity this morning, I'm like, wow, that's going to be a hard topic because this is probably the most generous church that I've ever encountered. I mean, like, generosity is in the DNA of West Valley Christian Church. So maybe for some of you, this is going to be just like a reminder of some of the things. And then maybe for some other people, it's going to be like, wow, I've never heard that before. But I just want to get that out of the way. West Valley Christian Church is incredibly, incredibly generous. So we started off by saying that everything that we have received. Everything that we have, we've received by God. And some of you may say, that's not true, Pastor. That's not true because I worked for the car that I drive. I worked for the house that I have. I spent sleepless nights studying so that I can have the job that I have now. Those are my kids. I made them, right? So they're mine. I've worked so hard for these things, so of course they're mine. And it's true that we've worked hard. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't even buy into the whole idea of the fact that we're stewards, right, as opposed to owners. Maybe you're legitimately thinking this morning that, yeah, I have worked for everything, so everything that I have is mine. But even if you're here for the first time and you're not a Christian, you have to agree to this. That even if we think that we are owners of the things that we have, we are only partially owners. And here's why. We only got like 80 years on this earth. If we're blessed by God, that's all we got. And then someone else is going to receive it, right? In fact, there's an image here that I want to show you that I thought was pretty funny. So now the reason why we laugh is because we look at the picture and we realize how ridiculous that is because we don't take anything with us when we leave this earth. So even if we struggle with the whole idea of being stewards and not owners, we have to agree that even if we believe that we are owners, we are only partially owners. Like someone once said one day, he was saying, you know, it's better to be generous while you're alive because sooner or later, this life is going to end, and it's much better for others to receive what you have because you are generous than because you are dead. So the whole idea of being generous is a really, really good thing. And I understand many of us think that what we have is ours because we worked for it, but honestly, let's just think about this. I worked for everything that I have, so it's mine. Okay, fine. But who gave you the strength to work? Who wired your brain to study? Who gave you the health to be alive? And who gave you the opportunities for you to have the job that you have right now? You see, everything we have received, even if you don't believe in the God we believe in, honestly. Everything that we have received it. So that's my goal for the first part of this message, that we understand that we are recipients of the grace of God. That is so important because my fear is that we won't get this, that we won't understand it, that I won't understand it, and we will become sort of arrogant. I will become sort of arrogant like the leaders that Paul was speaking to in the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 4:7. It says, "For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not?" You see, they became arrogant because of their own personal achievements. Hey, I did this, so this is mine. I work for it, so me. I'm the one that made all these things happen, orchestrated these things in my own life, and this is why I am where I am. And that is a trap if we're not careful. We can become arrogant. And I believe that when we think, even unconsciously, that everything that we have, we sort of deserve because of our work, I think what God answers to us when he sees us with that attitude, when he sees me with that attitude, is what he would answer to Job when Job was questioning God. In Job chapter 38, starting in verse 4, it says, I love this, it's so great what God tells Job. He says, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind the doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, 'This far you may come and no farther, here's where your proud waves halt'? Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place?" What an answer that God gives him. And I believe that's the answer that he'll give us when we think, "Hey, I've worked for all this. This is mine. I can do whatever I want." He's like, "No, actually, that's not the way it works." That's what he would answer us. God would say something like this, in my opinion, paraphrasing, "Where were you when I wired your brain? Where were you when I set in motion your circumstances? Where were you when I formed you in your mother's womb?" You see, if you're here for the first time, and even not sure about the whole God thing or the whole Jesus things, man, we're so glad that you're here. But we have to all admit, I think, that everything that we have received, and we have received it for a limited time. So even if we believe that we are owners, yes, but only partially, because we are here for a limited time. So that makes us all stewards, really, and not owners of the things that we have. So that's the first part of the message. And now, this is specific to Christians. So if you're not a Christian, this gives you kind of, and you're kind of on the fence about Christianity, this gives you a look on the inside to what you'll sign up for when you become one. So we believe as Christians that this is the word of God. Like, this is it right here. He tells us what he wants us to do through his word. So he created everything, and he gives us sort of this manual. It's a way of saying it, sort of this manual to how we're supposed to live our lives. And many of us take the Bible, even as Christians, we can fall into this. We take the Bible and we're like, "Yeah, I know it says some things about how I'm supposed to live my life, but I'm just going to kind of do it on my own way." It's like when you, I think I might have used this example before, but when you get a piece of furniture from IKEA, so you get a piece of furniture from IKEA and it looks great on display, but you get this little box and you're supposed to put the whole thing together. So you get the instruction manual out, and some of you will just go, "You know what? I got this. I'm just going to build it myself," and we make a mess of it, and it's all wobbly and weird, right? But then others will take it, and we're like, just, okay, A1, 2, and you just put the whole thing together, and it's perfect, and it serves its purpose. You see, when we talk about the Bible, and we talk about this being our instruction manual, we can do exactly the same thing. God, who created the earth and created everything, gives us a guideline as how to live our lives, but we can take this and we can say, "You know what? I got this life," and normally we'll make a mess of things, and then we'll go back and we'll say, "Okay, this is how I need to do it now." And the Bible talks about all kinds of different topics, all kinds of different topics, and explains how we're supposed to live our life. It talks about relationships. It talks about pain. It talks about decision-making, all kinds of stuff. But today we're talking specifically about generosity. And so what the Bible says about generosity is actually a lot. The Bible talks a lot about generosity. It talks a lot about specifically us rich people. What? Yes. Rich people are supposed to handle our wealth. I'm already sensing some pushback. We'll get into it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in their wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, I sense some pushback because when we read Timothy, as he's saying, the book of Timothy, as he's saying, the rich of this world, we're like, oh yeah, I know a rich guy. There's a rich guy that I know. We never think it's us. But the honest truth is that 99% of the people in this room, from a global perspective, we're rich. We're rich. I mean, that's us. You may say, Pastor Josh, you know what? You don't understand. You have clearly not seen my bank account. I am not rich. You don't understand. I respectfully disagree. We are. You may say, Pastor, you're right. We are rich in spiritual sense with the riches of heaven in our lives. And no, we've got a lot of money. I don't think we understand sometimes. If you make $33,000 a year, you're in the top. You probably heard of these statistics. Top 1% of wage earners in the world. If you make $10,000 a year, you're in the top 16%. Most of us here are rich. But no one's congratulating each other. Oh, we're rich, really? High five. You know, no, because we don't feel rich. From our perspective, we're still trying to make ends meet. But from a global perspective, we are most definitely rich. And we have rich people problems. We've heard about that, right? The rich people problems. Like, from a global perspective, I have the phrase, I have nothing to wear, means literally, if I don't put clothes on my back, I will probably freeze. From our perspective, we say, I have nothing to wear means I don't have anything that quite matches for the thing that I'm going to do tonight, right? From a global perspective, when we say, when the phrase, I'm starving, means literally, if I don't put something in my mouth, I could probably die in the next few hours. From our perspective, I'm starving means, man, I haven't eaten in like 4 hours, right? And so we can laugh. It's great. I mean, it's not about us feeling bad about ourselves, but it is so incredibly true. I was not going to tell this story. I was talking to Richard, I think it was yesterday, about this, and I'm like, I don't know if I should share this or not because it's kind of embarrassing, but I'm going to share it anyway. So it was a few Thursdays ago. I was on my day off, and I was driving my wife's car, which is a much nicer car than mine. So I was driving it, and it was just this perfect Southern California day. I had the AC on. I was listening to my favorite podcast, just driving. I wasn't in a hurry. And then I pull up to the Starbucks, and I asked the girl, I say, hey, I want my venti bold, you know, with a third of half and half and a sweet and low. I'm like, great, it's a perfect day. I get it. We make the transaction, and I'm driving off. It's perfect. Then I take a sip out of the Starbucks, and she didn't put the sweet and low in. And I started getting frustrated. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking at myself from the outside, and I'm like, this is a guy who's been a missionary in a third world country for most of his life, is getting angry at the barista that didn't get his drink quite right. And I'm like, when did this happen? How did I turn in to this person? You see, we are rich, and we have rich people problems. Now, like I was saying earlier, this is not a sermon meant to make us feel guilty about being rich. There's nothing wrong with being rich. 1 Timothy 6, we said it earlier, God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. There's nothing wrong with being rich. Solomon, richest person to ever live. You see, the thing that I want us to understand this morning is simply this, that when the Bible refers to the rich of this world, he's not talking about that guy you know, he's talking about you and me. 99% of this room, if not 100% of this room. And what I want us to understand is that being rich means that we have an additional responsibility than 95% of this world because we're rich and they're not. Luke 12:48 says this, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." For being entrusted with more, we have an additional responsibility. So the question is, what is that additional responsibility that we have because we are rich? Well, I believe there's a parable that answers that very question. It's in Luke chapter 12, and here's Jesus, and there's this person that comes up to Jesus and is talking to Jesus, trying to convince Jesus to convince his brother that he needs to give him the money that is owed to him from a property that they both own together. And this is Jesus' answer. It's beautiful. Verse 16 says, "And he told them this parable." He told the brothers this parable and everyone who was listening. He told them this parable. It says, "A ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.'" I feel so sorry for him. It's like, I got so much, I don't know what to do with it, right? What do I do? Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. I'll retire. I'll play golf.'" I don't play golf, but maybe you do. "I'll buy an RV. I'll work on the yard." Whatever it is. But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." Rich toward God. And what's true for this man who was demanding from Jesus, and what's true from this man who had stored up all the things and all of a sudden his life is taken from him, is I think true for us as well, because we can plan our whole lives to the T, everything, but we don't know. We don't know when it's going to happen. We have no idea. Now, it's important to understand that this text is not saying that it is bad to save, that it is bad to plan for the future, that it is bad to do investments. It is not saying that. What it is saying is that the biblical definition of being a good steward is being rich toward God. Now, what an interesting concept. Being rich toward God. What does that mean? What does it mean to be rich toward God? Because if we believe that everything that we have comes from God, why does God ask us to be rich toward him if he has everything? So he gave us everything, and then he's saying, be rich toward me. What does that mean? Because God clearly doesn't need anything. Just to give an example about how important it is to be rich toward God, we have so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about our finances. So many. 16 out of the 28 parables in the New Testament are about finances. One out of every 10 verses in the New Testament are about finances, 288 verses. We got about five in the Bible, we got about 500 on prayer, about 500 on faith, and over 2,000 on money. Why? If God owns everything, what's the issue here? Well, the issue is the heart. That's the main issue. And it's always the heart. Matthew 6 talks about where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The issue is the heart. It's always been the heart. This whole Bible is a book about God pursuing your heart. This is what he wants. But he won't have your heart if he doesn't have your finances. Or fill in the blank. Your forgiveness to the person you need to forgive. Your dealing with that sin that you're dealing with. You're on the edge about serving. All these things, what God is searching for is your heart. Now, this sermon isn't about money. It's not about time. It's not about forgiveness. It's not about serving others. It's not about patience. It's not about sin. It's not This sermon is about your heart and my heart. So every commitment that God invites us to make toward him isn't about the thing you're committing to. It's about where your heart ends up as a result. He's got everything. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need us to do things for him. No, but he needs our heart. That's why it's always an invitation. And it always has to be an invitation. Tithes and offerings, an invitation. Time, an invitation. Forgiveness, an invitation. Forgiving others, serving others, dealing with a sin. It's always an invitation. We will never pressure you. Because you can get people to do a lot of things out of pressure. A lot. I'll take it to the extreme. If you're in war and there's torture, you can torture someone into doing horrible things. Eating maggots, killing your best friend, renouncing to your religion. But the one thing you can't ever pressure anyone to do is to love. Because love is, on its foundation, freedom. It has to be done in freedom. If not, it's not true love. So when we talk about generosity, and we talk about just the steps that God is asking you to take, it's not that he wants that thing that you're holding back from him. No, he wants your heart. I'll put it this way. Let's just talk about an example. If we're talking about your time, okay, your time. God has all the time in the world. He doesn't need us to work for him. He can do everything on his own. Then why does he ask us for his time? Why does he ask us to be generous with his time? Let me put it this way. If you have in your hand the time that you're holding back from him, and God is telling you, you got to give me more time. You've got to serve in the church, and you feel your heart kind of like, yeah, I really need to do this thing for God. And all of a sudden, you decide, you know what? I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna be generous toward God. And then you give him that. What he got wasn't that there. He's always had that. What you just gave him was the part of your heart that you were holding back from him. And that is so important. And that's what we're talking about this morning. You're not giving him that thing. You're giving him the part of your heart that you're holding back. So the invitation this morning is that we are to be rich toward God this week, which is the very definition of generosity and good stewardship. I want to invite you to give someone this week a gift, a generous gift of something. It doesn't have to be money. Maybe it can be time. Maybe it can be forgiveness. Maybe making that phone call that you've been holding out from making. Let's be rich toward God and give him the part of our heart that we've been holding back. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for this church. Thank you, Lord, because this is such a generous church, Lord. Thank you because many of us, we understand the concept of being generous, and we know that because you've been so generous with us, that it's just an overflow of what we've received from you. I pray, God, that we will recognize that it's always a heart issue, and that it's always a part of our heart that we're holding back from you. And as we make a decision this week, whatever the decision is, of taking a next step toward you, that we'll understand that it's not you asking us for the thing that we're holding back. It's you inviting us to give you the part of our heart that you hadn't had yet. I pray for this and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If you found this message helpful, why not share it with a friend or a family member? West Valley Christian Church is a community of faith, love, and hope, and we would love to get to know you. So please feel free to come to one of our four worship experiences, Saturdays at 6, Sundays at 9, 10:45, and 5 p.m. For more information, please visit us at wvcch.org. Have a great day.